This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. Officials are asking for the public's help in finding Charlie Kirk's shooter. Some of the clues they have so far are a palm print, a shoe impression, and a high-powered rifle found in a wooded area. The FBI have also released photos and a video of the person they believe is responsible. Henry Dells, who asked Kirk a question shortly before he was shot, says the lack of visible security gave him an uneasy feeling.
I thought it was very, very weird when I showed up to the campus. There was no security at all. I have a weird feeling that if something did happen, he would be in a very vulnerable position.
Kirk was a conservative activist who was speaking at Utah Valley University in Orem when he was shot.
Congress's top Democrats are calling for unity as the left comes under attack over Charlie Kirk's killing. In the Oval Office, President Trump said it's time to stop demonizing political opponents, but
radical left political violence has hurt too many innocent people.
The message today from top House Democrat Hakeem Jeffries.
We need to come together as Americans.
And Senate counterpart Chuck Schumer.
Political violence is the enemy of democracy.
Who notes attacks on Republicans and Democrats alike.
There should be no finger pointing.
Not long before Schumer was on the Senate floor in the other chamber.
His death was not an isolated tragedy.
Rather, Illinois Republican Mary Miller says Kirk's murder is part of a trend of political violence.
Encouraged by the radical left.
House Speaker Mike Johnson's trying to lower the temperature.
Nobody who's arguing the other side of an issue is not your enemy, they're your fellow American.
Officials in Utah continue hunting the sniper who killed Charlie Kirk. After firing a single shot, the shooter's believed to have jumped off a roof and fled into a neighborhood.
He's wearing jeans, black shirt, black mask, long rifle.
Dispatch audio from Broadcastify.com yesterday. This morning,
we have recovered what we believe is the weapon.
The FBI's Robert Bowles says it was in a wooded area. Investigators say they have video footage of the suspect, whom they say blended in well on the campus where Kirk was killed.
That individual appears to be of college age.
Utah Department of Public Safety Commissioner Bo Mason gave no other details. At the Pentagon,
Charlie, we love you.
Both Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth and President Trump praised Kirk during a 9/11 commemoration.
Charlie was a giant of his generation.
Whom he says will posthumously get the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the nation's highest civilian honor. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Analyst Matthew Dowd lost his MSNBC job following his Charlie Kirk commentary. Dowd was a political analyst at MSNBC. He said shortly after the shooting death of the conservative activist Charlie Kirk that he was a divisive figure. MSNBC said Dowd, a paid political analyst, is no longer with the network. Both MSNBC president Rebecca Kutler and Dowd issued public apologies following his commentary. Dowd said Kirk is, quote, constantly sort of pushing the sort of hate speech aimed at certain groups. Dowd added that he thinks hateful thoughts lead to hateful words, which lead to hateful actions. The analyst was once a political strategist for President George W. Bush. He joined MSNBC in 2022 following a failed campaign for lieutenant governor in Texas as a Democrat. I'm Haya Panjwani.
In Colorado, investigators are learning more about the 16-year-old student who authorities say fired a revolver and critically wounded two students at Evergreen High School. Here's Jefferson County Sheriff's spokeswoman, Jackie Kelly.
Based on some of the information that we're seeing about this suspect is that there's some, he was radicalized by some extremist network.
Audio courtesy of Denver 7.
The Jefferson County Sheriff's Office in Colorado has identified the 16-year-old boy who fired multiple shots with a revolver at a suburban Denver high school Wednesday as Desmond Hawley, and say that Hawley died of a self-inflicted gunshot. Authorities believe that Hawley had been radicalized by an extremist network, and say details of how Hawley allegedly had been radicalized will be released at a later date. Two students were shot, one inside Evergreen High School, another outside. The investigation continues as to whether Hawley had any dispute with the victims or had fired randomly. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
And the Trump administration is asking an appeals court to remove Lisa Cook from the Federal Reserve's Board of Governors by Monday before the central bank's next interest rate vote. Trump fired Cook in August, but a federal judge ruled late Tuesday that the removal was illegal and reinstated her.
President Trump is asking a federal appeals panel to remove Lisa Cook from the Federal Reserve's board before the central bank meets next week on interest rates. The president tried to fire Cook after accusing her of mortgage fraud, but a federal judge ruled this week Cook be reinstated. The Trump administration's now asking an appeals court for an emergency decision to take Cook off the Fed's board by Monday. The Fed starts its next meeting Tuesday with an interest rate decision the following day. It's almost certain to reduce its key short-term rate for the first time this year. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
And a federal appeals court is letting the Trump administration block Medicaid funds to Planned Parenthood. The organization says more than 1.1 million patients cannot use their Medicaid insurance at its health centers. And in Brazil, a panel of Supreme Court justices have sentenced former Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro to more than 27 years in prison. He was convicted of attempting a coup to remain in office after he lost a re-election bid in 2022. This is AP News. AP correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports France says it's deploying fighter jets to Poland, and the UK has announced new sanctions against Russia.
Paris's decision to move jets to Eastern Europe is in response to Russia's recent drone incursion into Poland. French President Emmanuel Macron says three Rafale jets will help protect Poland's airspace and NATO's eastern flank, while British sanctions intend to target 70 vessels and 30 individuals and companies linked to Russia's oil transport and war efforts. The new sanctions come as British Foreign Secretary Yvette Cooper makes her first trip to Kyiv after her appointment a week ago following Prime Minister Keir Starmer's cabinet shake-up. Poland's foreign minister is also visiting Ukraine's capital to discuss security and cooperation. These moves aim to counter further Russian aggression. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
More information at apnews.com. I'm Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
A federal judge has temporarily blocked the Trump administration from removing nearly 70 children. The ruling covers 57 Guatemalan children and another 12 from Honduras living in shelters or foster care. They are between the ages of 3 and 17. U.S. District Judge Rosemary Marquez has extended for at least another 2 weeks a temporary restraining order issued over Labor Day weekend. Lawyers representing the children say they fear going home and that the government is not following laws designed to protect migrant children. The Trump administration argues it's acting in the best interest of the children by trying to reunite them with their families. A federal judge has blocked a Trump administration policy that would have prevented children in the U.S. illegally from enrolling in the federally funded preschool program Head Start. The nationwide ruling comes after a coalition of 21 Democratic attorneys general succeeded in preventing the policy from being implemented in their states. A Health and Human Services Department spokesman says the agency is evaluating its next steps. In issuing the ruling, Judge Ricardo Martinez said he saw no reason for the policy change, believing it would threaten access to services that families rely on. I'm Mike Hempen.
America is marking nearly a quarter century since the 9/11 attacks.
Lorraine G. Bay.
In Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
Colonel David M. Scales, United States Army.
At the Pentagon and at New York's Ground Zero.
We can't believe, wrap our heads around 24 years when it feels like yesterday.
Where where Freda Marco was remembering her firefighter cousin who died in the attacks.
It's tougher and tougher.
It's the opposite for Joanne Doria Cross, who lost her husband that day and is making her first visit to the New York commemoration.
After 24 years, I finally feel emotionally and mentally ready to handle it.
Nearly 3,000 people died on 9/11.
And an entire generation of Americans have come of age in a totally different world.
At the Pentagon, President Trump said 24 years later, the nation renews its sacred pledge to never forget. The Pentagon's annual September 11th ceremony switched locations this year after Charlie Kirk's shooting. The remembrance is traditionally held near the memorial outside the Pentagon's West Wall, where American Flight 77 ripped a hole in the building on 9/11. A White House official says the Trump administration moved the ceremony to the Pentagon's internal courtyard because of the Kirk murder. President Trump praised Kirk during the ceremony as a giant of his generation and later told reporters,
"You don't replace a Charlie Kirk, he was unique."
Whom the president says will posthumously get the nation's highest civilian honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. NATO is taking stock of its response capabilities after Russia's drone incursion into Poland. The growing Russian hostilities worry European nations like Lithuania, whose defense chief says the threat is rising.
Every one of us on the eastern flank are facing certain risk every single night.
She spoke during a meeting with top NATO commander Alexis Grinkiewicz.
We're going to continue to work to improve our ability to defend every single inch of alliance airspace.
Still, Grinkiewicz says the alliance is not sure how many drones entered Polish territory or if they were fired intentionally. Ukrainian leader Volodymyr Zelensky says the incursion was certainly no accident. And meeting with him in Kyiv, Finnish President Alexander Stubb says it was another milestone of Russian aggression.
The line between war and peace has been blurred.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Immigrant detainees have started arriving at a former Tennessee prison in Mason, Tennessee, northwest of Memphis, that's been turned into a U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement detention center operated by CoreCivic, Inc. Mason officials approved agreements with ICE and CoreCivic on August 12th, despite loud objections from upset residents and activists during a contentious public meeting. Tennessee's corrections agency has previously fined CoreCivic $44.7 million for violations from 2022 through February. The company has spent more than $4.4 million to settle about 80 lawsuits and out-of-court complaints alleging mistreatment, including at least 22 inmate deaths. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The wife of former New Jersey Democratic Senator Bob Menendez was sentenced to 4.5 years in prison for bribery. Nadine Menendez was in tears when she told a judge her husband is a manipulative liar, that she put her life in his hands and he strung her like a puppet. Menendez is going to prison for selling her husband's once powerful influence in exchange for bribes of cash, gold bars, and a luxury car. The prosecution says Menendez was not a bit player, and Judge Sidney Stein told her she knew what she was doing and her role was purposeful. After sentencing, Nadine Menendez says she doesn't plan to divorce her husband, who is serving an 11-year sentence for taking bribes, extortion, and acting as an agent of the Egyptian government. I'm Ed Donahue.
I'm Seth Soutell, and this is the AP Market Report. Stocks plowed to more records on Wall Street after some mixed data on the economy helped cement expectations that cuts to interest rates are coming. The S&P 500 rose 0.8% Thursday. The index set an all-time high for a third straight day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rallied 617 points. It's about 1.4%. The NASDAQ Composite added 0.7%. Treasury yields eased in the bond market following the reports on unemployment claims and inflation. Investors are betting that the Federal Reserve will make its first cut to interest rates this year at its meeting next week. European stocks rose after the European Central Bank held its main interest rate steady. Seth Soutell, New York.
More good news for home shoppers. Mortgage buyer Freddie Mac says the average rate on a 30-year mortgage fell this week to 6.35%. That's the lowest level in nearly a year. Mortgage rates have been easing in recent weeks amid expectations that the Federal Reserve will cut its main interest rate next week. The Fed doesn't set mortgage rates, but its actions can indirectly influence their trajectory. Rates also fell in the lead-up to a Fed rate cut a year ago, but soon after began climbing again. I'm Alex Vega.
AP Sports, I'm Geffen Coolbaugh. Jordan Love threw for 292 yards and two touchdowns to outduel Jaden Daniels and lead the 2-0 Packers past the Commanders 27-18 on Thursday Night Football.
Couldn't have, you know, started the season off on a better note, so it's one thing that we just got to keep building on.
Washington running back Austin Eckler was carted to the locker room late in the fourth quarter after injuring his right Achilles tendon. President Donald Trump attended the New York Yankees' victory over the Detroit Tigers in the Bronx, drawing mixed reactions from the crowd. The visit marks the 24th anniversary of the September 11th attacks. Trump, who was born in Queens, greeted players before the game and predicted a Yankees win.
I will say you're going to win.
Recalling past games with late owner George Steinbrenner.
We won every time I came. Every time we came, we'd win a game. And he'd call me. He was a... You think that was easy sitting with him for a game? It wasn't. It was brutal.
New York slugger Aaron Judge homered twice in the game, including his 361st homer to tie Joe DiMaggio for fourth place on the team's all-time home runs list after recently passing Yogi Berra.
Two legends, greats in the game, great all-time Yankees.
And lengths forward, Nafisa Collier became the second player in WNBA history with a 50-40-90 season shooting split in Minnesota's league-best 34th victory to conclude the regular season. The NHL says the five players acquitted of sexual assault charges stemming from an incident in 2018 will be eligible to sign a contract on October 15th and play beginning December 1st. The league announced the decision Thursday to reinstate Dylan Dubé, Cal Foote, Alex Formenton, Carter Hart, and Michael McLeod a little over 1 month since a judge in London, Ontario found them not guilty. They were members of Canada's 2018 World Junior team at the time. The NHL Players Association issued a statement in support of the decision. Jason Collins, the NBA's first openly gay player who now serves as an ambassador for the league, is undergoing treatment for a brain tumor. His family sent a statement to the NBA asking for privacy and welcoming support and prayers. Collins came out in 2013, becoming the first publicly gay athlete in the four main North American sports leagues. The former number 18 overall pick in the 2001 NBA draft retired in 2014 after a 13-year career with several teams, including the New Jersey Nets and Boston Celtics. I'm Geffen Coolbaugh.
At the UN Security Council Thursday night, Sheikh Mohammed bin Abdul Rahman Al Thani told members a strike on Qatar's capital this week revealed Israel's true intentions.
To undermine any prospect of peace, it is trying to perpetuate the suffering of the Palestinian people.
The strike targeted Hamas leaders, but the Qatari prime minister noted,
the negotiation team of Hamas have been getting together to discuss the U.S. proposal.
The proposal called for Hamas to release all remaining Israeli hostages, but Al Thani maintains,
extremists that rule Israel today do not care about the hostages. This is not a priority.
Israel's UN ambassador Danny Danon argued the Hamas team were not legitimate diplomats, but masterminds of the October 7th attacks.
For too long, Qatar has harbored terrorists, offering Hamas leaders sanctuary in luxury hotels while they orchestrate massacres and terror attacks.
Warning:
history will not be kind to accomplices.
I'm Ben Thomas.
Israeli soldiers and their mothers are increasingly rejecting calls to return to Gaza. There are no official figures, but newly formed groups are broadcasting their refusal to serve despite the risk of imprisonment. It's a new phenomenon in the nearly two-year war sparked by Hamas's October 7, 2023 attack, though so far it's had no apparent effect on military operations. Yifat Gadot, a mother of a soldier who fought in Gaza, tells the AP enough is now enough.
We want our children, the combat soldiers, out of Gaza now. We do not want our children dying in vain. We do not want our corrupt and extremist government to sacrifice our hostages, which should have been home a year and a half ago, alive.
The defiance is emerging as Israelis have joined mass protests, accusing Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of prolonging the war for political purposes, instead of reaching a deal with Hamas to bring back the remaining 48 hostages, 20 of whom are still believed to be alive. A plane carrying more than 300 South Korean workers, released after days of detention in Georgia, has landed in South Korea. TV footage showed the charter plane landing at Incheon International Airport on Friday and workers filing through arrivals. They're among about 475 people detained during the September 4 immigration raid at a battery factory under construction on the campus of Hyundai's sprawling auto plant west of Savannah. South Korea later said it had reached an agreement with the US for the Korean workers' release. Their return provides relief to their families and colleagues, some of whom came to the airport to meet them. Prince Harry's representatives confirmed they were in Kyiv, though they declined to discuss the prince's schedule for security reasons. This is the second time Harry's visited Ukraine since the start of Russia's full-scale invasion, Harry told The Guardian newspaper while on an overnight train to Kyiv. We cannot stop the war, but what we can do is do everything we can to help the recovery process. Harry is the founder of the Invictus Games, a Paralympic-style event designed to inspire military veterans who are working to overcome battlefield injuries. Ukraine's bidding to host the Games in 2029. The prince's appearance in Ukraine follows a four-day trip to the UK, where he met his father, King Charles III, for the first time in 19 months. Charles de Ledesma, London.
Heavy rain flooded some streets and halted rail and air traffic in Tokyo on Thursday, with more storms forecast. About 4.7 inches of rain fell in just 1 hour in the capital, according to Japan's meteorological agency. Air traffic control and other ground services at Tokyo's Haneda Airport were halted because of lightning, preventing aircraft from taking off. Railway operations were also temporarily suspended, including the bullet train and other lines in the region. Across Tokyo, the rainstorm flooded streets and some social media users reported seeing hail. According to the Tokyo Electric Power Company Holdings, more than 7,000 homes in Tokyo were without power at one point. By late Thursday, power had been restored to most of them. Belarus has freed 52 political prisoners as the United States announced it was lifting sanctions on the isolated country's national airline. Belarus, a close ally of Russia, has been repeatedly slapped with Western sanctions both for its authoritarian government's crackdown on human rights and its role in Moscow's invasion of Ukraine in 2022. Its president, Alexander Lukashenko, has ruled the nation of 9.5 million with an iron fist for more than three decades, and he has allowed the Kremlin to use Belarusian territory to send troops and weapons into Ukraine. But for more than a year, Lukashenko has sought to mend ties with the West in the hopes of easing the sanctions and the country's international isolation. He has regularly released prisoners as a way to win favor. Qatar's prime minister has said Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has destroyed hopes for hostage releases in Gaza. This follows an Israeli attack on Hamas leaders in Doha as Qatar officials were hosting them as part of ceasefire negotiations. Speaking at the United Nations, Sheikh Mohammed bin Abdul Rahman Al Thani's comments reflect growing anger among Gulf Arab countries. Russia's foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, suggested Israel was sabotaging ceasefire efforts to undermine the possibility of the creation of a Palestinian state. Meanwhile, thousands of Palestinians are fleeing Gaza City ahead of an Israeli offensive there. Many are struggling to leave due to lack of resources. The Israeli military has so far killed 64,700 Palestinians in Gaza alone since its offensive began in October 2023. A curfew was lifted for a few hours in Nepal's capital, allowing people to rush to buy groceries and supplies as confusion set on the Himalayan nation about its future after the collapse of the government. Soldiers in Nepal's capital have ordered people to stay home after the military came out in force overnight to halt 2 days of deadly unrest that prompted the government's collapse as protesters set buildings on fire. Representatives of the protesters met with military officials in Kathmandu to discuss a transitional administration, with some of them pushing for a popular former Chief Justice, Sushila Karki. The demonstrations by thousands of protesters were sparked on Monday by a short-lived government ban on social media, drawing a police crackdown in which officers opened fire. I'm Karen Chamas.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.